Just a few announcements before we start. There'll be tea and coffee over in the hall after the service, and you're all very welcome to stay. If anyone would like prayer after the service, just remain in your seat and someone will be pleased to come and pray with you. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And we will lift the name of the Lord high as we sing our first song, The Splendor of the King. Who said heaven's going to be boring? Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for your creation, for plants, for flowers and food, for animals and people, for all we see around us. We praise you for sight and sound, for touch and taste, and smell and feeling, for emotions and inspiration, for your indwelling spirit. For all of this and so much more that makes life what it is, we praise you, Lord. Lord, we are sorry when we fail you so often and fall short of what you would have us be. We are sorry when we fail our families, when we fail our friends and neighbours, when we fail to recognize need in those around us and in the wider world. Forgive us when we deliberately look the other way and avoid the hard challenges you call us to. Forgive us, O God, for our failings, our deafness and our blindness in reaching out and offering your love. We thank you for celebrations, for the freedom to celebrate the coronation of King Charles III and Queen Camilla yesterday, and for the upcoming celebrations of 78 years of freedom after the occupation. We praise and thank you for all people, the good, the bad, and everything in between, who have made us the people we are, and who encourage us to be the people you want us to be. You are our compass, our map through the choices of life. To you, O God, we offer our thanks this and every day. Amen. We're going to sing again now. Number 543, There Is a Name I Love to Hear.
Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 to 60. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the tops of their voices, they all rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Invite Danny to come up.
Oh, thank you. What a lovely choice of hymns. Well, all speaking about one thing, really, is about our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, who is alive and very well. Thank you. Coming up to the pulpit here, I just sort of really notice, wowza, I feel out of place, such orderliness of the domestics and the cleaning products. The fairy liquid, which shreds my fingers, I never use fairy liquid. But all nicely lined up in regimented style. And almost like just with all the thousands of military personnel that was out on display in London yesterday. And the bounty of things is that it's orderliness about our daily lives that we are giving here to those who are in need. And I thank you all for, one, providing some food for others, but also for those who put on the display such orderly fashion. It wasn't meant to be a joke. It's just a comparison with my orderly fashion of my life. It's not always orderly. Hence why I have a wife who tells me what to do. And she gave me a list of things to do at the beginning of the week. And I was proud to actually go through and say, I've done half of them. And so I sent her a script over and say what ones I've done. And she said, well done, praise the Lord. When are you going to do the rest? And I said, you're coming back too soon. While what they say is, while the cat's away, the mice will play. Nothing like that at all. It's really about us putting ourselves under the discipline of each other. But we both love the Lord very much. And I have to confess, I'm one of those people, not because I didn't want to, it's because I didn't have time yesterday to watch any of the coronation. It was a sadness for me because I keep hearing lots of good reports from everybody else and saying what a wonderful occasion it was. Even with my Sally up in Manchester or Stoke, as she was, with friends watching it on TV while I was slaving away at home. I did get around. I did listen on the radio in the car when I was going back from somewhere. And a couple of things I just noted, and it was really good to hear that some changes were made to the ancient order of the service that King Charles and his queen Camilla had made. One was that it's almost like the words of the Lord himself, that Charles is come to serve, not to be served. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out like that. It's living in a palace, does it? But if his mindset is that way, and I think it has shown itself through his time as a prince, it's not always in people's favour, but anyway, he has tried to serve certain things which he was laid on his heart to present to the world and to help bring preservation and conservation. Not all without critics, I will say, but about reality in our world, to take ownership of things that are precious. Now he's king, he can't do that. So he hopes to have invested that in his sons. Of course, we know there's some troubles afoot within any family. And I do feel for him. And now that he's taken over such grand shoes, I didn't say big shoes, of his mother, Queen Elizabeth, may God rest her soul. So there's a sense of order yesterday. Much of it was practiced during the evenings of last week, and people probably in London was getting a bit fed up with all the flip-flopping of the horses and so forth, but practice had to happen. And it reminded me way back, because it said by the commentator that not so many military personnel have presented themselves on the streets since not the Queen's coronation, but Winston Churchill's funeral, of which my brother, being in the Navy, was one of the pallbearers of the gun carriage for Winston Churchill. That's my notation to fame, but it's not. But I just remember him coming home and then having to go up to London, because we lived near Staines, so we only had a short train journey up to London, where he had to go out and practice pallbearing the gun carriage several days before it, through the streets of London, before it was put onto the barge on the Thames. Such as it is in life, that we need order. And we have an order of service to try and help us to get through in a sort of controlled fashion of what we are trying to achieve today. And that is our worship of God through Jesus Christ. And two of the passages from our lectionary readings for today, I've chosen from them, and they were read to us. One was John chapter 14, and it's about talking to his disciples who were fearful. Fearful already, they knew about the troubles afoot in this capital, Jerusalem. They already knew that it could be tough times, and it could be questions to be answered, and even lives being threatened. So there was a sense of foreboding by those disciples. And Jesus addressed them, says, trying to reassure them of, do not be fearful, do not be afraid. And in the preparation he's done, and it's all this confusion about coming and going and whatever else, but there's a sense of preparation being done for a place for you in eternity. And even to contemplate death and the finality, it's not on anybody's agenda usually, is it? You don't want to worry about it. But it was on Jesus' agenda, talking to his disciples, to reassure them of the place that he has prepared and preparing for them before he comes back. And then we have the story, well, not only that, and Jesus then goes on and talks about, how do we find the Father? How do we find our place? Where are you going? Jesus answers that. He says, well, if you follow me, I am the way and the truth and the life. This is what I offer you. This is what you believed in. This is why you want to follow me and be my disciples. It comes with a cost. It comes also with joys as well and rewards, if you want to call them that. Then we have Stephen in Acts reading. Stephen was one of the first deacons. And Sally likes to reckon herself to Stephen and to remind people that it was the first martyr was a deacon. So she's, like this. But the deacon wasn't just delivering food and produce, like we think of caring for our community. This deacon was preaching to those who should have known better. This deacon laid his life on the line and said, "This is what it is. And you, how you had crucified the one prophet you should have listened to." And when he started saying, then had he had his vision of opening up and seeing heaven, he sort of reminisced all the words of Jesus that prepared a place for him. And he says, "I see it." And a sense of joy and peace came over him. And all the leaders, you know, when they don't want to hear anything, go la 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 la, don't they? And that's what they were doing. They didn't want to hear the reality of the truth of what Jesus said. "Do not be afraid. I have prepared a place for you." Oh, I can say is, wow, I mean, you know, to be in that position and feeling all that pain of the rocks hitting him, to almost repeat the words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." And I guess it's our place to receive that forgiveness today if we are to reconcile ourselves to the things of the past, the work we have done. Some would say, well, we don't need to confess our sins because Jesus has conquered sin and death forever. We don't have to. We've done it once. We don't have to keep on doing it. Well, we do know how often we've fallen short. Every day we try to journey with Jesus. But Jesus says, "That's as long as you keep following me, you'll learn by your mistakes, and you will enter in to your reward in heaven." So there's various things I just want to pick out from those two passages and put them together. So our first picture is about the importance of faith in God. Now, I just chose a picture at random, and there's sort of like a Bible with a cross. Yeah, that's what we want to believe in, the cross. But sometimes, and you can see coins there, silver coins and so forth, there are sometimes distractions, sometimes things that distract us from doing what God wants us to do. But it's important of our faith in God to be demonstrated in the real world. It's demonstrated, yes, by providing some food and, in other words, thinking of others who have not. It's demonstrated by actually giving them to others. It's demonstrated by giving time to listen to people's stories. And it's demonstrated in actually living the faith and not just talking the faith. You know what I mean? A lot of people say, "I'm a good man." I don't know what they base that on. Maybe it's their observation. I don't always see myself as a good man. I don't know why. Do you reckon yourself to be a good person? Now, Jesus was a good man, a good person, and we follow him. We hope that as we've invited him into our lives, that a little bit of him reflects out of us. So if I'm a good man, it's nothing to do with me. It's about Christ in me. Christ in you. So in John 14:1, in this passage that we read in John, Jesus tells his disciples that they should trust in him and in God, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now Stephen was a follower of Jesus, and he saw that vision of God and proclaims his faith in him, even in the face of persecution and death. We as a church, and many of us, actually pray through open doors and pray for those who are persecuted for their faith around the world. And some have not just been in prison, not just been whipped and lashed and whatever else, and atrocities have been put upon them, but several or many have lost their lives for their faith. We join with them in our prayers and solidarity, because it's important to not deny your faith, be seen living your faith as a good person in That good person is one who learns to love their neighbour as themselves. That's that thing, you know, the comparison between those who have faith and demonstrate it in their lives. The second picture I have, moved on, anticipating me, is the power of prayer. Jesus says to them, anyone who prays anything in my name, and I would grant it to you. And a lot of people think, well, I pray a lot for this or that or the other, and it doesn't happen. Well, it's not about your whims. It's not about what you desire. It's about praying in Jesus' name in the way that Jesus would pray for somebody else. And we know that Jesus would want to forgive. Jesus would also want to heal and restore. But he also wants to give them faith and hope beyond this life. That this life unto life, not just life through to death, but life unto life eternal. And so the power of prayer was important for Jesus and his disciples, but even for Stephen as he laid there, practically, or on his knees, receiving the bruising of the stones on his body, was able to pray forgiveness. And the power of that prayer is beyond measure. You can't put a value on it. Stephen prays to God as he is being stoned, asking him to receive his spirit and to forgive those who persecuted him. I guess in this Liberation Week, we think of some of the atrocities that the occupiers had on the island. Some of you were there. Some of you have read the stories or been through the war tunnels and got the sort of a sense of what was going on at the time. Others have seen films of what occupation meant. But the emotional scars, we cannot repeat or represent in people's lives. Those emotional scars run deep in people's lives. Those who lost loved ones, those who were taken off to concentration camps, those who were resettled elsewhere, and maybe never to be seen again. Liberation for us is that sense of being restored and set free. But freedom comes with a cost. Can we reconcile ourselves to those who were our persecutors? To those who imprisoned? Those who abused? Well, that's the power of prayer that begins in your life, and demonstrated by Jesus on the cross when he said, Father, forgive. There was God on the cross as the Son of God, Jesus, praying forgiveness on those who would abuse his body. And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know that verse very well. Prayers of your people, my people here, powerful and effective. It may not bring your desire of actual physical healing now, but the healing of the spirit, of the soul, of that emotion, to know that you are a child of God and have a destiny with him, is the greatest healing that we can give another. But the other thing is, the next picture we have, that we can trust in God's plan. Do you trust in God's plan? Well, we've been waiting 2,000 years since Jesus died, and we're still waiting. And when is he going to complete that plan? Well, we're some of us are impatient, aren't we? We're not. We can't wait for that eternal destiny to happen right away. But God's plan is perfect, and God's plan doesn't fail. Right in the beginning of Scripture, when God spoke and the world out of chaos became in order, God had a plan. He knew there would be some failures, there would be some those who would deny him, but he had a plan. And he would say, yes, thousands would probably go off and delve into other faiths and other belief systems and so forth. But God had a plan. And that's at the end of time, whenever that is, every knee shall bow. Not under oppression, not because they're being suppressed, but because they now know, like you declare you know, that Jesus is Lord, the King of Kings. And we can surrender to him. God's plan is for our lives to be demonstrated in the world around us. And so when you trust in God's plan, you don't worry when things don't go your way. You know, I say often, you know, I never get lost. I just go the scenic route. You know what I mean? We arrived at Weeks at Mary Circuit, my children and I, in August 2001. And that's in Cornwall, North Cornwall. And and I know my way around the street. Well, there's no street lights, there's no pavements, just pure 100% countryside. And I knew my way around, I thought. We got invited to a barbecue the first week in August. So nice of them, isn't it? And I knew where it was. And it took an hour and a half to get there. But we got there, the scenic route. It took about less than 10 minutes, I think, to get home. And you can hear the children in the back seat say, are we nearly there yet, you know? Well, my plan didn't quite go to how I expected it to. But God's plan, whatever direction he calls you in, some go one way, some go another. Jesus spoke to Peter at the beach barbecue he had for them after his resurrection. He says, do you love me? He said it three times, and we sometimes relate that to the three times that Peter denied him. But then he says, you've got to follow me. Right? You've got to feed my sheep. You've got to look after my sheep. Take care of my lambs. And that's what he was called to do. And then he looked over his shoulder and says, what about him? John, the one you're supposed to love and who loves you as well. And Jesus said, don't worry about him. I've got my own plan for him. You follow me. Too often we worry about other people's, where they're going and so forth. You are called to concentrate on your calling, wherever that takes you. They're right. And it takes us for different places and different times, and sometimes we come up with confrontation. But God's plan is perfect. God's plan will not fail. Otherwise, you're saying God's a failure. And that cannot be true. Even when it's in difficult times to understand, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them. Even though they do not yet know the way, Stephen has a vision of God, that beautiful vision of Jesus standing at God's right hand, even as he was being persecuted and killed. Was that God's plan for him? Did God force him to go that way? I don't think it's God's plan for any disasters to happen. But it's God's plan that in the midst of disasters, grace and mercy and all the blessings of God through the presence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives can ooze out and bring healing to the nations. That's what you're called to do. I'm called to do too. So we're not only about the importance of faith or the power of prayer or to put trust in God's plan, but it's also to bear witness to your faith. And the question there, are you willing to be someone who bears witness to God? And that's, evangelical Christians can be characterized as Bible bashers, I believe, in the past. It must have hurt quite a lot of people with bruising. Okay, Sheila. A bit of water, is it? Okay. Yeah. Don't want you fainting on me. The last thing I want. Back there, that's not my plan for you. We are called to bear witness. Important word, witness. And it's not about in words, but it's in our deeds as well, in our actions, how we behave. I had I thought he was a friend in church, one of our coffee afternoons that we had in one of our churches. And we had a disagreement. He says, if you go outside, I'll knock your block off. And I sort of said to him, well, if you can't knock my block off in the church, you shouldn't knock my block off outside either. Because wherever we are, this whole place is sacred. I'm glad he didn't knock my block off. I might not be here today. But we had a disagreement and then ended up agreeing to disagree. I had one of my street pastor nights in St. Austell. Since we went out of our place where we were meeting and a safe place, and we went up towards the station. And on the way up, I got confronted by a big guy. And I thought I was big, but it was a big guy. And he's, you know, we were trying to be, you know, nice and genial, you know, genteel and smiling and so forth. And he says, what are you smiling at? You know, yeah. And he's got really rough with me, and he's almost got hold of me. He says, I know, I can get your fuckers out of your throat within 30 seconds. I think, oh, gosh, you know, that's quite fearful, and I didn't know what to say. And I gulped, and I had somebody with me, and I can't remember who she was, and she was a bit worried then, and she couldn't phone through for prayer for help, and I was just there worried about it, and just, you know, trying to find the words to say before he did the damage. And, over that couple of minutes of peace and praying arrow prayers, as you are, and I sort of tried to bear the witness of what would Jesus do in this situation. And we just kept calm. And he was ranting and raving. And then all of a sudden, after about 3 or 4 minutes, this big bully of a guy wept. Within a couple of minutes after that, he asked us to pray for him. It wasn't Bible bashing or shouting a lot of words at him or trying to defend myself. Just standing on the ground and being Christ-like, if you like, if I could, in the presence of someone else who was hurting so bad that he's willing to hurt another person. But we were able to pray for him. And another occasion similar to that was when I got back to the prayer meeting, you know, people who pray, street prayers, prayer pastors we called them, were praying for us, you see. And I went in and I said, oh, this thing happened, and we had to get the police out and so forth. And somebody who knew just missed me in my nose when he went for a punch. And we couldn't get through to ring you because it's too volatile, the situation. And she says, Don't matter, Danny. I saw a load of angels over you. I thought, oh, I'm glad you saw them. I think I would have liked to have seen them at the time. But it just shows you the power of prayer and the testimony of our witness. There's that one of our faith, is that God protects us where there's need to protect us from total damage. But sometimes, like with Stephen's case, about the grace and mercy that he was able to pray, Father, forgive them, receive my spirit. He was willing to bear witness to his faith, even in dire circumstances. Are you willing to be someone who bears witness for God? That's a big challenge, isn't it? So we're now with our next picture. We're coming to a close now and moving on. But what do we have? Out of these two passages, we have the illustration of the power of God's love and grace. Jesus tells his disciples that he will send the Holy Spirit to be with them and to teach them everything, and that he loves them and will reveal himself to them. You know, Stephen prays for his persecutors and forgives them, but just as Jesus forgave his own persecutors on the cross. The Bible is consistent about God's desire, God's plan, and God's desire for you and me to be people of God, people of faith, people of prayer, people who trust, people who bear witness to the power of God's love and grace. So in summing up, next pitch, it's all these pictures together. And there's many pictures like this. You know the scriptures more probably better than I do. And some of you are focused on some of the scriptures more than others. That's because God's called you to that way of life. And that's your badge of honor, if you like, to bear witness to God in your life. So what were those five things then? Can you remember them? Importance of faith in God. Power of prayer. You're able to trust in God's plan explicitly and implicitly. Bear witness to one's faith. And then bear witness to the power of God's grace, love, and mercy. Well, I had a lot of fun this morning. We laughed a bit about order. Jesus says, you know, we can try and order our life so we are in control. Just like these food products down here, all nicely ordered, settled out. A place I used to work at Varian, I had one of my employees, an order processing clerk, that had a spotless desk. I was envious of him because I never had a spotless desk. And then somebody put on here a placard on his desk, on his shelf. It says, tidy desk. So it's a sign of a troubled mind, I think. I thought it was a bit horrible. But sometimes we like it too tidy. When chaos happens, we don't know how to handle it. God knows how to handle it. And when chaos and upset and distress happens to you in your life, God is right there. Jesus is right there. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. And you coronate him every day of your life. And he says, I come to serve, not to be served. I come to bring relief to your weary feet and wash them. I come to bring food on your table when he fed the thousands. Twice, and even at the breakfast on the beach. Come, bring some of the things you caught, but I prepared already a breakfast for you. Jesus is with us every moment of our lives. Sometimes we can't see it, but you've got to believe it. You've got to trust it. And it's for you to go from this place today to bear witness to that faith in God through Jesus Christ, who loved you, died for you, and offers you life in all its eternity. So we're going to sing.
Let us pray. Lord, you say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. So Lord, we bring before you what is on our hearts today. We ask for your hand on the situation in Sudan and on all those trying to flee. May you give them strength and courage. Travel alongside them, speaking to their hearts as you lead them to safety. We pray too for all those trapped in their homes, unable to venture out safely, unable even to go out for provisions. Provide for their needs, Lord, spiritual and physical. Keep them safe. We pray for an end to all conflict. And we think today of Ukraine, still at war. Have mercy on all living amid danger. Bring peace to your world. The earthquakes in Turkey and Syria no longer dominate our news, but we know, Lord, that for all those affected, the struggle to rebuild lives and homes continues. Please be with them and ensure that the right practical help is available to all. We pray for persecuted Christians wherever they live. We see from Open Doors information that the situation in many countries is worsening. Our focus this week is China, number 16 on their list. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at how the church in China has continued to see incredible growth despite decades of opposition. As this new wave of persecution brings fresh challenges, strengthen your people and continue to do amazing things in and through them. We pray that you will anoint the conversations that Christians have with the local authorities, and that these will involve moments of divine encounter for those who seek to oppose your work. Lord God, the coronation of King Charles III brings in a new era. During the coronation, we saw old symbolic traditions mingled with the new, such as the three ancient swords of mercy, temporal justice and spiritual justice carried in the coronation procession, and the newly commissioned anointing screen. May the King be aware of your anointing upon him from this day forward. The King has taken his seat on the ancestral throne and the weight of the crown on his head. We pray, Lord, that from your heavenly throne, you will help our King carry the weight of all that is put upon him in his role as our monarch. His mother, our late Queen Elizabeth, reigned with honour, wisdom, and integrity. Her heart was yours, and we pray the King's will be yours too as he reigns over us. May he listen, draw strength, and be guided by you always. We pray for the church here in Jersey and give you thanks for all who serve in any capacity. We pray for Tony and Kathy as they come to the end of their sabbatical. We pray that they have felt your presence with them in new and refreshing ways. We also lift Danny and Sally to you as they prepare to leave us. We thank you for their care and dedication to us in Jersey, and ask that you will bless them mightily as they continue to serve you elsewhere. We also pray for the group on pilgrimage in Israel with Nola, that their faith in you will have been deepened by walking where Jesus walked. Put your shield of protection over them for the rest of their trip. Be with Nola especially, Lord, as she has been unwell. We pray for a recovery to full health for her. We pray for our island as we celebrate 78 years of freedom from German occupation. With each year, there are less and less people alive who can remember the occupation. But we pray that those too young to remember will make a pledge never to forget those who went before, especially those who gave their lives so that we could be free. May we never take our freedoms for granted. We will now have a time of open prayer. You can express your what's on your heart, both either out loud or in your hearts.
Father, I pray for the family of Eileen and Ian Smith. We pray for Danny as he takes the funeral on Friday, for all that will be encompassed in that act of thanksgiving.
voice. And Father, I just pray, Father, that you would give her peace, that you would give her joy, that you would just guide her forward into having more interests and more places where she can really relax and know who she is. Father, we want to pass on our faith to our children and grandchildren. We pray to help us do that, Lord. As prayers get answered, it's an amazing witness that there is a God. And thank you, Lord, for the way you have affected Kate with that, Lord. We've answered prayer in her life. And now, Lord, we perhaps all have things in our families we want to lay before you, Lord, and ask for you to guide us to be that witness of you in our families. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We pray for the Binmead family too, for Richard, as he has an operation this morning for a broken leg and a displaced ankle. Just pray for the success of that operation. We pray for Naomi and the boys, and so they will be able to have to do a lot for Richard afterwards. Just bless them, Lord. Thank you for their faith. May they just feel surrounded by your love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we do thank you for all the blessings and knowledge we have received so far in this world. We do continue to pray for Nana that she will feel much refreshed after today and go forward in strength for the last few days in this world. And I just pray for our group that we're taking over, crossing over, and we're going to be travelling out to travel on Wednesday and Thursday too. And I just pray that you will give us in preparation. Everything, getting everything ready, and all our travelling, Lord, just be with us, go before us and with us. And the whole time in this round, Lord, like we do now, Lord, I just pray your canopy of protection over us everywhere we go. Go before us and with us, as we get more understanding of the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, I do thank you. It was mentioned about the coronation, that it does go back to that coronation, that time of crowning of Solomon, and the things that came from Jerusalem, the anointing of it. Lord, we just praise you for all that was said into all the families of people watching, that comes back to you and the importance of you being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, we just praise you that that name of Jesus and God and his plan of purposes was lifted up yesterday. Please guide Charles and the family in your paths, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray for one another, and entrust to you those things that worry us, those situations in which we feel helpless, those decisions that burden us, those losses that overwhelm us. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. The reason for that is that you will come down the middle, go to your right and up the back and around the back, and not to leave, but to come back to your seats for our final song. So if you know what we're doing. But anyway, Father God, I thank you. Thank you that you brought order out of chaos. And even as Jesus was whipped and lashed and was forced to carry a heavy burden and helped along the way to Golgotha to die on that cross, to bear the pains of nails hammering into his flesh, and to hear the resounding reverberations of that noise in the timber through his ears. All he could think about was the glory of God his Father. And he said, "Father, forgive." And to all his persecutors and all those who had no faith in him, he said, "Father, forgive." And in our hearts, we know in our lives that so much goes on, and we find it difficult to forgive people for the wrong that they have done to us. But my golly, you have forgiven them for the wrong they've done to you, as you have forgiven me. So we thank you, Father, that at this place, this table, that it resembles just a small sample of the table he had with his friends around it, where they, you know, celebrated liberation from slavery and from captivity. But now it resembles liberation from the captivity of sin and death. Because you, from that table, took bread. And you gave thanks to God for the fruit of the earth and the work of human hands. And you broke it, Lord Jesus. And in the breaking, you gave it to your friends around the table and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." Oh, we thank you for that, Lord. And after you supped with the bread, you took the cup. And having given God thanks for the fruit of the vine and the work of human hands, you gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant made possible in my blood for the forgiveness of your sins and many. Drink this, all of you, with a thankful heart." So, Father God, we ask your blessing upon this and your Holy Spirit to move as we eat and drink and become one in Christ, that we may truly bear witness to you with great faith and in the promises of Jesus, and that by that faith and demonstration in our lives may honor your name, for Jesus is the way to you. For he is the Son and you are the Father. That's the way we know you, not as someone remote, but someone who's close, someone who comes to us as the father of the prodigal son and daughter as we come back to you. And you embrace us. You welcome us. You adorn us with clothes and a ring on our finger, and our feet are shod with the finest shoes. You treat us as royalty that we do not deserve. But by your grace and mercy, you have laid it upon us to receive these precious gifts, because you want us to be one with Christ, one with you, and one with each other. So be it. Amen. Come, eat, drink. Be thankful and be blessed by God's Holy Spirit. Heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. Amen. And now we have the blessing. One minute. Eager. As before, that we hope to do for you and the kingdom to come. Bless us, we pray, as we bless one another with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. We have now our traditional closing hymn to the wonderful tune of the Dambusters.